David Cale is a British-born monologist who emerged from the same New York downtown performance scene that Spalding Gray and Eric Bogosian established themselves in. 2 years ago in the New York Times, Stephen Holden described David Cale's material this way: reality, fantasy, and an almost clairvoyant insight into personality dissolve into one another in stories that can be as memorable as one's own most vivid dreams. Cale has toured nationally and has appeared in the films Radio Days and Moon Over Parador. Two of Cale's full-length pieces, Red Throats and Smooch Music, have been published in book form. Smooch Music is a series of vignettes about romance and love in contemporary New York. Red Throats is about a withdrawn boy who spends most of his time alone in his room singing along to Judy Garland records. David Cale performed a scene for us between the boy Stephen and his teacher.
Meanwhile at school, Stephen was being interviewed.
"Sit down, Stephen," said Mr. Whitlock. "Now, have you any idea what you want to do when you leave school?"
"Yes, Mr. Whitlock."
"What, Stephen?"
"I'm going to be a legend."
"What's that?"
"It's a superstar that people never forget."
"I see. Well, you'll be the only legend living in Littleton."
"I'm not going to live in Littleton, Mr. Whitlock. I'm going to live in America. All the legends live in America."
"Oh, they do they, Stephen? And who in your estimation is a legend?"
"Judy Garland. I'm going to be like Judy Garland."
"But Judy Garland is a woman, Stephen."
"I know she is."
"Stephen, I think you should try accountancy."
"Why?"
"I just think you should. Yes, accountancy would be fine."
"Accountancy?" muttered Stephen as he left the room. "Accountancy? Yuck!" And as soon as he got home from school, he ran up to his room and started singing Swanee.
Thank you, David Cale. You actually tried to make it as a singer yourself, didn't you, before becoming a performance artist?
I did work for a few years with a rock band, and then I started writing songs, and that developed into my reading the songs, the words, at poetry readings, and then gradually the little spoken songs turned into monologues, and then longer, more theatrical pieces and stories.
When you started performing, did you know you had it in you to do different voices?
No. I just sort of did it instinctively, that when I was playing different, when I was writing about different people, I would just sort of put on little voices. And then I started working on it more consciously. And certainly the Red Throats has, I guess it has 20-something characters in it or something. So it had to be very defined, I mean, for when it's done on the stage, because the version on the stage is different to the book in the sense of the book makes it clear which characters are speaking, whereas on the stage I just do the voices and that has to carry it.
Red Throats is also about an adolescent growing up in a family called the Weird Family. That's their last name, Weird.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in a family that in your mind was the Weird Family?
No. I mean, any resemblance to an autobiography is very much kind of removed and heightened, and I've let my imagination go on the facts, so to speak. But I was interested in trying to write about someone who turns into themselves by the end of or realizes that they're special by the end of the piece.
There's a woman in Red Throats who says, "You know what they say, if you're born in Littleton, you die in Littleton."
Yes.
Were you desperate to get out of the place that you were born in?
Yeah.
Where was
it? Yeah, I mean, I was born in a town called Luton, which is it's very parallel to the town in the Red Throats. It's a very sort of industrial small town that revolves around a car factory, basically. And it's very close to London, but people would never go to London. And certainly It's an old saying in the town that if you're born there, you die there, and that generally is the case, that people don't leave.
So how did you get out? Had you plotted your escape for a long time?
No, I just left.
What did you do?
I just got on the train and left. And then, and coming to America was, I mean, looking back on it, it was extremely naive in the sense that I just got on a plane with a small bag and never went back.
On the plane, the character who's headed towards the United States says, I'm being taken over by me, the me...
The me I haven't been yet.
Yeah.
The me I'm going to be when I start being myself.
Exactly. Does that describe your feelings?
I don't know. I guess so, yeah. I like the idea of someone having a change of life on a plane in the middle of the sky. So, and I also like the idea of a personality or someone being taken over by their true personality.
I like that too, because it's a nice variation on reinventing yourself. It's not changing yourself. It's letting yourself be who you wanted to be all along, who you've been all along, but that you had to suppress.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, the peak of the piece is this young boy sort of taking his life in his hands and just shaking it till all these bad parts fall out of it. And he becomes himself. But this happens in the clouds.
David, would you do a reading of the second piece that's reprinted in your book, Smooch Music?
Sure. This is the first part of a section in Smooch Music, which is called Talking to You on the Phone is Better Than Being With You. On the corner of 81st Street and 1st Avenue, there's a phone booth. And sometimes, if you're walking past the phone booth at night, the phone will start ringing. Just as you're walking past, it'll ring. And if you pick it up, there'll be a woman's voice on the other end, and she'll say, Hi, my name's Honey. I just stepped out of the shower. I'm naked as a seashell, dripping everywhere. You want to talk a while? You want Honey to give you her number? You want to run home? Call Honey from the comfort of your own home? Or you want to talk to Honey's friend Joe? Joe will do whatever you want on the phone. You want a J-O with Joe? Or you want to have a three-way with Honey and Joe? Honey has two extensions in her apartment. You could talk to both of us at once. Or you could talk to Honey and Honey's friend Kathy. Kathy could come over. Two sexy girls at the same time. Or you could talk to Honey and Kathy and Joe. And we could get Joe's friend Pedro to come over and speak a little Spanish.
What inspired that one?
There is a phone on at that very junction that rings. Well, I've been past it and it started ringing, but I've never picked it up. So the rest is my imagination.
After writing this, you still weren't tempted to pick it up?
Now I would pick it up.
You've told us that you think a lot of what you do is intuitive. And I get the impression that what you're doing is not anything you ever planned to do, but something that you had in you and that slowly evolved out of stuff that you were doing before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what I found is I just worked a lot. Mm-hmm. And without any kind of overall view of what was happening, I was just putting these little pieces together and they gradually got longer, and then a theater would book them, and then gradually things got more involved, but it was quite unconscious. And it continues to, if I hold on to my instincts. But...
Is that hard to do as you get better known and as you get cast in other people's movies?
It gets. I found that things get more complicated as there's more attention paid to what I do. That it would be easy for a certain self-consciousness to creep in, which I won't allow, or for it to be maneuvered in a certain direction, which was more commercial or more to a certain person's taste. I mean, it's harder to hold on to your instincts.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
And for performing as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.